The way. Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Haggai and the chapter number 2. Second chapter of the book of Haggai and the verse number 1. We read these words in the second chapter. And in the seventh month, on the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it now not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts now, and help us, our God, to meditate upon them, and help us to find strength in them and direction for the journey as we go out to serve thee another week. We thank thee for thy word through the prophet Haggai, and we pray in Jesus' name that we might be thy messenger with thy message this day to the hearts of those in this day and generation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we came to the end of the first chapter, you remember as we studied last Lord's Day, we find that indeed the people of God were stirred up. They were revived to do the work that God had called them to do and to build again the temple of the Lord. But of course, when the Lord stirred up the hearts of his people, we can understand then the enemy seeks to come in like a flood. We notice that first of all, and naturally I suppose we could say, the enemy came in because it was the expected enemy. The enemy that tried to and stop the work before in the building of the temple and discouraged the people. And now once again we find that as the work is to commence again, the enemy comes in to try and stop it again. And they make an appeal to the king concerning this building of the temple, hoping that he will stop the work. But praise God, the devil has overstepped himself. And the work is still going on, and the walls are being built, and the timbers are being laid, and the temple is being erected to the glory of God. Praise God, you know, the old devil oversteps his mark, and oversteps himself, and thank God he walked into defeat. But then, of course, I said there was the expected enemy, but then there was the unexpected enemy. Because the old man came, and he remembered the days whenever the former temple was there. And of course, when he looked at the work that they were doing, there was no gold and there was no silver this time. And so therefore, he was looking and thinking about the former temple and how different this was. And of course, this was an unexpected enemy because it was from within. And it was a word of discouragement. And that did real damage and had the means of doing a dampening of the enthusiasm for the work of God. You see, whenever the Bible says they were stirred up, in other words, they were on fire, they were wanting to do the work. Now we find that there's the dampening down of that enthusiasm. And to be honest, this temple was nothing to be compared with the former one. And the gold and silver was not there at this time, and so discouragement can affect the confidence of the people, but not only can it affect the confidence, It can also stifle the willingness of the people to continue building. In other words, the feeling of failure. What's the use? And as I said, as we finished last Thursday, just how easily criticism can come, how easy it is to criticize the efforts of others. But to be honest, criticism that was unworthy here, it was hard to accept. But you know, when I read the Word of God and tells me in Isaiah chapter 59, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord, thank God he lifts up a standard against him. And that is what we see here God does. God, in this moment of discouragement that could have stopped the work again, a people that had been reinvigorated, revived, and blessed and stirred and wanting to do a work for God, how easily they could have been discouraged, laid down their tools and say, what's the use? Because whatever we do here, they'll always be comparing it to the temple of the past. You know, God decides to raise the standard here. And God steps in. You know what he does? He brings the right word at the right time through his servant. And you know, I look at what God says to them, and I see all of what God says. You know, it is his mighty perfection here. It sure is a word in season. And I pray that as you and I look at what God said through his servant, that you and I see that there is a word in season for us. Because they were discouraged. And what they needed was to be encouraged. And that's what God did. And that's what I want us to look at. Look at verse number 4. This is God says. He says, yet now, and this is a word from God through the prophet Haggai. He says, O Zerubbabel, be strong, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And you know, God reiterated that message. Be strong, be strong, be strong. And he just reiterated it to every part of the team. You see, Zerubbabel, he needed to be strong in his leadership. Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, he needed to be strong. But the people needed to be strong. And so this message comes to every part of the team. You know, we need to realize in the work of God that we're in this work together. I know it seems to be a modern statement that Cameron seems to trot out these days. We're all in this together, speaking about the recession. Friend, this work of God is for every child of God. Josedech, or Joshua, and Zerubbabel, and all ye people of the land. God says, be strong. Paul, writing to the believers in Ephesus, said this, be strong. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I believe that's exactly what these people need. They needed strength, but they needed the Lord's strength. And God promised through the servant Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthian believers, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Writing to the Philippian believers, he said this, I can do all things through Christ. Therefore, my strength is in the Lord. And we looked at that last Lord's Day, and I'm only just giving you that. He said, be strong. Then he said this, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. See, that's a vital necessity. They've got to keep at the work. In other words, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep working. God had given them the task to do. God had told them to build this temple again. This was the Lord's work they were doing. And now they needed to be laborers in the work of the Lord. You and I realize today that's exactly what we are. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In fact, the sad reality is this, quite often, even in God's work, it's left to a faithful few. And yet every child of God in this congregation, every one of you, God has called you to be a servant of His. And when God calls you to be a servant, God calls you to work for Him, because servants work for their master. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth what? Laborers into His harvest. Writing in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 35, say not ye that there's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 28, son, work today in my vineyard. And God is speaking to you and me, because there's coming a day when we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account of our stewardship to Him. Can we honestly say that we will face that day with gladness, knowing that we have been faithful stewards, because that's what God requires of us? He requires of every last one of us to be faithful. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, all unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that you? Are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God said to them, listen, be strong. But He said this, and work. And work. There is a work for every one of us to do. But there's an enemy out there, and there's an enemy within. And my, there's discouragement. My, they tried to stop the work by appealing to the king. And by there are those that are discouraging us, because we haven't the gold and silver of our fathers. The temple's not as glorious in its building as they built. Then God said this to them. Look next. He says, not only work, He says this. He says, for I am with you. I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And I tell you, it's a lot easier to work whenever you have those with you that are able helpers. God was there to aid them. God was there to help them. Notice what He says in verse 8. The silver is mine. And He said, the gold's mine. What are you worried about? They talk about there's not the silver and gold as there is of the former temple. Do they not realize that the silver's mine, the gold's mine, and I'm with you. I provide your need. Next, in fact, He said in verse 9, He says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater. What an encouragement for these believers. What an encouragement for these men that were working in the work of God, friend. Here's someone that was going with them, that was going to help them. Our brother Ryan is going a long distance tomorrow. And he's going to leave his mum and dad and Edna and Granny and the rest of them. Let me tell you this, he's not going alone. The Lord's with him. And friend, when you and I go to work, remember this. It's the one that's with us will be our strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's what makes the difference. You turn over to the book of, just keep your hand there because we're back in a moment. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And there's a lovely wee statement there that my, as the Lord was going back to heaven and leaving His children, give them a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then He says this, look at verse number 20. Mark 16:20, the last little verse in the book of Mark. It says this, and they went forth and preached everywhere. But mark the next thing. The Lord working with them. The Lord working. Listen, your labor, is nothing being in the Lord, brother, sister. Be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is nothing being of the Lord, because the Lord is working with you. He's your helper. And you see when the Lord was working with, look at the end of that verse 20. The Lord working with them and confirming the word. He'll confirm the word. I think sometimes that we feel that we don't see the fruit of our labor, we can get discouraged and we say nothing's happening. Friend, don't you charge God foolishly. Don't you charge God foolishly. Nothing happening. Well then what about this verse? My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish. Nothing happening? Are you suggesting that God's failed that? My word shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It shall not return unto me void. You see, my friend, your job and mine is to do as these people did. They went forth and preached everywhere. We took the message of the gospel. We take it. The saving of the soul is not our responsibility, for you and I cannot save them. But God can work with us, confirming the word with signs following. Oh, we long that God would do that today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says this, for we are laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. That's amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers with Him. Are you working with Him? Are you fighting Him? Or working against His work? Working with Him. What a privilege. What a joy to work with the Lord. God says to him, listen, He says, I want you to be strong, Haggai, through the servant Haggai. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. And all ye people that are doing this work, be strong. I am keep working. Keep working. Don't quit. No matter the discouragement, no matter how hard the road is, no matter how tough the journey is, keep at it! Because remember this, I am with you. And then God did something. He wasn't finished here. Because what God does this, to encourage His people, He looked back. And then He gave them word for the present, the past. Learn from the past and then remember the present. Here's a word for the present. And then He gave them a vision for the future. This was a word that God had for His people. What an encouragement. Let's look at the past. This is what it says. Look at verse number 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. And so to confirm His promise that the Lord would be with them, God took them back to whenever He brought them out of Egypt. He reminded them of the solemn covenant that He had made with their fathers. He reminded them of past difficulties and yet past victories. Do you remember when they were coming out of Egypt, friend? Before they came out, they were in an awful situation. They were in bondage. The sky seemed to be getting darker and darker, and there was no light. It was a situation that was hopeless as far as man was concerned, but God raised up Moses. you know what God reminded them of here in verse 5? He said this, according to the word that I covenanted with you, when ye came out. Don't forget that. You came out of Egypt. God says, I brought you out. There was a past victory, friend. He didn't leave them in the bondage because he brought them out. He was covenanted to bring them out. He fulfilled his word. And I believe, brethren and sisters, that when you and I are facing difficulties, it's good for us to remember that God in past days delivered our fathers. Whenever the sky across Europe was black and it seemed to be that the Roman Antichrist was ruling everywhere and it seemed as if, my friend, that there was so much darkness, it was called the Dark Ages. God sent forth the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let me tell you, God shook Rome, and God sent forth a gracious revival of preaching of God's word, and the hearts of the people were turned unto himself. You say we're living in a dark age, let me tell you, yes, and there were dark ages before, but God was covenanted to bring his people out, and God is covenanted to bring us out. God is covenanted to bring us out to victory fence. I do not believe that God is taking his children home, limping home to heaven. I believe God's children will go home gloriously. We'll go home gloriously. We'll go home victoriously. And God bound himself to make Israel his own and separate them from the nations of the world, friend. And as God covenanted himself with his people, God said, I want you to look back here. And I entered into a covenant. And that covenant never failed. I kept my covenant. Even whenever the heart of your fathers turned against me, I didn't forget what I promised. When they forgot, I didn't. And down through the centuries, friend, God has fulfilled his promise. God has remained faithful. And God says, according to the word that I covenanted with you. There is a wee thought, let me say this to you, and it's a wee word of that you and I should remember this. Just as God's word is his bond, so our word should be our bond too. The word of God says, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. And friend, we need to be very careful. Because our word ought to be trustworthy. And so he looks past. Looks back. When I brought you out. Then notice what he says for the present. He says, fear ye not. You have nothing to fear. I can hear somebody say, but what about the enemy? They made us afraid. We stopped the work for 16 years. The work had stopped. When they had down our trowels and our tools, and the work had stopped in the building of the temple. We live in a fearful world today. The scene, it seems, at times is getting darker for the people of God, friend. But here's a comforting word from God this morning. Fear ye not. Well, it's easy to say those words. But how can I find comfort there? You know, when I look back in the Word of God, God said to Abram he was to fear not. And God brought him through. Whenever Elijah went to the woman of Zarephath, and she was gathering a few sticks, and then he asked her to make him that little cake, and but she said, what I'm making, I've only enough for to give to my son, and we're going to take our last cake, and then we're going to die. And he said, listen, make me first that cake, fear not. Do you remember when the enemy came and Elisha the prophet, and the enemy seemed to be all around, and over there in 2 Kings, just turn for a moment in 2 Kings chapter 6. And my, whenever he got his eye upon the Lord and realized that God was in this battle, it wasn't his. And he turned to a servant in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know, there are times we are so fearful we feel we're all alone. Let me tell you, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Don't forget the next part. And delivereth them. In closing this morning, I want us to think about that. Just fear not. And I want you to go to a little verse that God gave to me many years ago in Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm only just giving you this, and then we're going to have to close then for time's away. But you know, God doesn't say fear not, and not give you something to solid to stand upon. You know, some people say it to folks, and you know, when they're maybe depressed, "Ah, don't worry." Just like driving a knife into them. God tells us that we're to be over anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, take your burden to the Lord and trust him. Leave it with him. And so in Isaiah chapter 43, look at verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He says, fear not. Why? But God, I have every reason to be afraid. There's a great enemy around me. The forces of hell are against me, God. I'm afraid. So afraid. God says, I'll tell you why you don't need to be afraid. Listen, fear not, first of all, for I have redeemed thee. Actually, in fact, that was not the first reason, because it says this, verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee." God says, I created you. I'm the one that made you. And you don't need to be afraid, because not only have I created you, I have redeemed you. I bought you with a price. And then he says this, he says, not only have I redeemed thee, he says, I have called thee. And he said, I've called thee by thy name. In other words, God knows you, friend. He knows your name. He knows all about you. Even the very hair of your head are all numbered. That's why you don't need to be afraid. He says, I have called you by your name. You know, somebody who loves you doesn't call you, "Hey, you." No, they call you by name. And God says, I've redeemed you. You don't need to be afraid. And I've created you. You don't need to be afraid. And I've called you by your name. You don't need to be afraid. And then he says this, you're mine. That's why you don't need to be afraid. Thou art mine. This is the Lord of glory, friend. And the Lord of glory saying, you belong to me. You're precious. That's why you don't need to be afraid. You're my precious possession. You're special. He says, I'll tell you, no matter what the circumstances, you don't need to be afraid, because he said this. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And he said, when you're going through the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. And even when you're going through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He says, I'm going to be with you through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. I'll be there. Why need not we be afraid? We could go on. Look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Have loved thee. You're loved by the Lord, friend. You don't need to be afraid. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out all fear. Fear thou not. And then he says this in verse 5, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and I will gather thee from the west. Thank God one day he'll gather all his people home. We don't need to be afraid. Look at verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. He said, I did this for my glory. In other words, God has a purpose for you. You don't need to be afraid. God has a purpose for you. And God's purpose is that whether we eat or drink, we should do all to the glory of God. Verse 9, it says, let all the nations be gathered together and all the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. I have a sure word for you. It is a word of truth. And then verse 11. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You don't need to be afraid. I'm the Lord. I'm the omniscient one. I'm the omnipotent one. I'm the omnipresent one. I'm the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. He says, fear not. So we have a word from God, friend. And this was God's word to his child. He just told him, he said, listen, be strong. He said, not only be strong, he says, keep working, keep at it. He says, because I'm with you. And he says, because I'm with you, he says, I want to remind you of something. I brought your fathers out. I covenanted. And I kept my word. So you have nothing to fear. A word in season for their heart. As we go forward from God's house today, thank God every child of God has that promise that the Lord's with me. Never walk alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. But dear unsaved person, I say to you again, if only you could see it. Oh, just as Elisha prayed, Lord, open their eyes. And they saw the angel, the Lord. They saw the horses and the chariots of flame, fire, round about Elisha. Oh, that God would open the sinner's eye. That God would show you a different fire. The fire of hell. The fire of a lost eternity. The fire of being forsaken by God forever. As you step out into eternal beyond. And may God open your eyes and bring you to Christ and save you today, that you too might experience the Lord with you. no matter what may be the test. God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon my breast. God will take care of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can say the Lord's our rock in which we hide at shelter in the time of storm. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised us that Thou wilt be with us, and we thank Thee that You have told us not to be afraid, because You'll be there all the way. And we thank Thee, Lord, that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself, that we still have nothing to fear, for Thou art with us. But those that know not Jesus, O God, I pray, open their eyes, let them see their lost estate before Thee, and bring them by faith to the cross. And for those who are Thine, may they hear the word of encouragement to their soul. Happen to go out and work this week. Work for Christ, for Jesus' sake.